Proverbs chapter 24.
Intelligence outranks muscle. Don't envy bad people. Don't even want to be around them. All they think about is causing a disturbance. All they think about is making trouble. It takes wisdom to build a house and understanding to set it on a firm foundation. It takes knowledge to furnish its rooms with fine furniture and beautiful draperies. It's better to be wise than strong. Intelligence outranks muscle any day. Strategic planning is the key to warfare. To win, you need a lot of good counsel. Wise conversation is way over the heads of fools. In a serious discussion, they haven't a clue. The person who's always cooking up some evil soon gets a reputation as Prince of Rogues. Fools incubate sin. Cynics desecrate beauty. Rescue the perishing. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Rescue the perishing. Don't hesitate to step in and help. If you say, hey, that's none of my business, will that get you off the hook? Someone is watching you closely, you know. Someone not impressed with weak excuses. Eat honey, dear child, is good for you, and delicacies that melt in your mouth. Likewise, knowledge and wisdom for your soul. Get that and your future's secured. Your hope is on solid rock. Don't interfere with good people's lives. Don't try to get the best of them. No matter how many times you trip them up, God-loyal people don't stay down long. Soon they're up on their feet, while the wicked end up flat on their faces. Don't laugh when your enemy falls. Don't crow over his collapse. God might see and might become very provoked and then take pity on his plight. Don't bother your head with braggarts or wish you could succeed like the wicked. Those people have no future at all. They're headed down a dead-end street. Fear God, dear child. Respect your leaders. Don't be defiant or mutinous. Without warning, your life can turn upside down, and who knows how or when it might happen. An honest answer. It's wrong, very wrong, to go along with injustice. Whoever whitewashes the wicked gets a black mark in the history books. But whoever exposes the wicked will be thanked and rewarded. An honest answer is like a warm hug. First plant your fields, then build your barn. Don't talk about your neighbours behind their backs. No slander or gossip, please. Don't say to anyone, I'll get you back for what you did to me. I'll make you pay for what you did. One day I walked by the field of an old lazybones, and then I passed the vineyard of a lout. They were overgrown with weeds, thick with thistles, all the fences broken down. I took a long look and pondered what I saw. The fields preached me in a sermon and I listened. A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life with poverty as your permanent house guest.
Verse 1 of chapter 24 says, don't envy bad people. The great theologian Thomas Aquinas wrote, charity rejoices in our neighbour's good, while envy grieves over it. And envy can be a very destructive emotion, both mentally and physically. We are told that envious people tend to feel hostile, resentful, angry, and irritable. Such individuals are also less likely to feel grateful about their positive traits and their circumstances. Envy is related to depression, anxiety, and the development of prejudice and personal unhappiness. Envy is very, very negative and becomes quite destructive to us emotionally. We need to, as the old hymn used to say, count our blessings, name them one by one. In Psalm 73, in verse 3, the psalmist says this, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And later in that psalm, the psalmist goes on to describe the effect that envy had upon himself. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. And so the psalmist, being very, very honest, describes himself as being envious of the wealth and the prosperity of those around him. Those who seemed to be wicked seemed to be prospering, and he became envious of that. And the more envious he became, the more embittered and the more angry and resentful he became. And then towards the middle of the psalm, he says, "Then I went to the house of the Lord and things changed." And he put things into perspective. And when he realized what the end of the wicked will be and what his would be as he followed God faithfully. So we need to guard our hearts against being envious of anyone. And within that, learn to be thankful every day of our lives for the blessings that we do have. This particular chapter is very, very challenging. And there's a few verses here that really kind of get you between the eye. There's kind of no escape for them. And the next verse I want to highlight is verse 10, where it says, "If you fall to pieces in a crisis that wasn't much to you in the first place." And that kind of seems a little harsh, doesn't it? If you fall to pieces in a crisis that wasn't much to you in the first place. Mervyn on Sunday spoke to us about three storms. I'm not going to go over the three storms, but just to mention something from the third storm, which is Paul's shipwreck. And it's found in Acts 27. And Paul says this, "But I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed." So as that storm hit the ship, everybody was in a panic. Everybody was falling to pieces, literally in a crisis. All that is except Paul, who had heard God's voice. And he said, "I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed." And then later in that chapter 27, verse 34, Paul says, "Now I urge you to take some food. You'll need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." Paul had heard from God. Can you imagine what might have happened if Paul also had fallen to pieces in the crisis? Quite possibly everybody on board would have perished. But Paul kept calm because he knew that God was with him and he was listening and hearing the voice of God. John 16, verse 33 reminds us, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." And particularly at this time, when understandably so many, many people are falling to pieces in the crisis that the nation and the world is facing. And so the challenge for us as Christians is to know the peace of God, is to know the strength of God, is to know the courage of God, is to know the direction of God. So those around us who might be in crisis, who are panicking, we can bring a word in season. Just as Paul brought that word to all those on board, we can bring God's word to our neighborhood and to our nation at this time, because we have the peace of God with us. You might be thinking, well, sometimes I fall to pieces in a crisis. What are you saying to me? We just need to know where we are with God. God is about honesty and about reality. And God doesn't condemn us. God doesn't crush us. But God, as I've said right throughout Proverbs, God wants us to see ourselves as he sees us, so we know where we are in our walk with him. We cannot pretend to be strong and then crumble at the least problem. If we are not strong, we need to confess that before God. If we are weak, we need to tell God that we are weak, and God will graciously come alongside us and make us strong. You know that one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, because I keep repeating it, is that of Gideon. Gideon was weak. Gideon had fallen to pieces in a crisis, but God didn't give up on him. In fact, that there's a lovely verse in Isaiah that says, a bruised reed he will not crush. God takes us where we are and he makes us strong, but we cannot pretend to be strong when we are not. We need, particularly at this time, to be strong in God so that we can bring the word of peace, the word of comfort, the word of courage, the word of direction to those around us. We just need to be honest before God. And Proverbs takes us on this journey of being honest and open before God so that we can be drawn closer to him because he loves us. Just to move on and just to highlight one more verse where it says in verse 15, rescue the perishing, don't hesitate to step in and help. We're told about Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And of course, it's good to be praying for those in need. It's good and it's right to be praying for those who are perishing, for those who are lost. But we need action. We need to be able to reach out to them as well. In Matthew 25, we have this story of Jesus teaching the disciples something that they couldn't see, which happened on more than one occasion. Matthew 25, verse 35 says this, for when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And the disciples, you know the story, answered back, Jesus, when did we ever do any of these things for you? And Jesus replies, as much as you did it for one of the least of these people, you did it for me. But they did. They fed, they clothed, they visited the sick, those in prison. And it's time to reach out and rescue the perishing. It's not time to hesitate and hold back, but it's time to step in and help. And again, we need the wisdom of God to do that in the circumstances that we are in. Just a couple of health tips just to round off this morning. Verse 13 says, eat honey, dear child, it's good for you, but eat it in moderation, because honey does have a sugar content, though it is better than sugar, but honey is healthy for you. So have a little honey in the morning. It's really, really refreshing. And then verse 26 says, an honest answer is like a warm hug. An honest answer is like a warm hug. And I don't know if you're a huggy person or not. I know that some people in the church are quite huggy people, and others want to do social distancing forever. We're all different, but the writer to the Proverbs says here, an honest answer is like a warm hug. And one psychologist says this about hugs. Hugs reduce stress by showing you a support. Hugs may even protect you against illness. Hugs can make you happier. Hugs help reduce your fears. And hugs help you communicate with others. An honest answer brings security, it brings support, and it brings strength. And that's what we need at this time, don't we? We need security, we need support, we need strength. And so does our community. And we can't physically hug each other, but we could probably give each other a virtual hug this morning. And I'm going just to ask Chris if she would pray that hug over us, in the sense of it brings security, it brings support, and it brings strength to us.